Now, British peer Lord Peter Hayne, raised in South Africa, the son of anti-apartheid activists, has laid bare the reasons for how and why the masterminds of the state capture heist have so far, at least, got away with robbing this country of 1.5 trillion rand. Yes, 1.5 trillion. Trillion rand. The public faces of the corruption and wanton greed are, of course, Jacob Zuma and the Guptas, among others. But they couldn't have done it alone. They needed the veneer of respectability that helped them. And that's where international financial institutions, global corporates, and even some foreign governments come in. Lord Peter Hayne joins us now on the line. A very good morning to you, and thank you for talking to us.
Good morning, Bongani. Nice to talk to you again.
You've described state capture as a near-death experience for South Africa. I would say we're still gasping for breath.
I agree. The consequences of it have been to destroy or at least undermine key institutions like the National Prosecuting Authority, stopping the South African Revenue Service collecting all the taxes that it used to do so efficiently, state-owned enterprises looted Eskom in the crisis that it's in, mainly because of that. South African Airways similarly. So, yes, the consequences are very serious, and the loss of international confidence is very great. But my evidence to the Zondo Commission of Inquiry yesterday was to focus on the international dimension, the way that the Guptas and their allies, the Zuma family and so on, were able to smuggle their money out of South Africa by the hundreds and hundreds of millions through the international financial system. And the international financial system and foreign governments included are also culpable in this. And they haven't so far been put under the spotlight with some proposals that I put to the Commission for its consideration to reform.
We'll talk about those in a minute, but the key question for many people has been, what happened to the money? We know the contracts were dodgy. Surely there's a way then we can try and reverse some of these transactions, but that's easier said than done, isn't it?
It is. Some of it's been spent, obviously. For example, a few months ago, two of the Gupta brothers' sons, two sons from separate brothers, had their weddings. I know, lavish 400 million rand wedding in India, where they've been living, and where, of course, the Guptas are from originally. Now, that money was looted from South Africa, so that's gone. Others, they have spent and hidden almost every week that goes by. They have the ability to salt away and hide it from international asset recovery specialists. And I think the South African government needs to consider using, like the Nigerian government, and I mentioned this to the Commission for it to look at yesterday.
Yeah.
The Nigerian government has employed asset recovery specialists in the private sector who are tracking down $1.2 billion, American dollars, of oil money that was fraudulently stolen. They've already recovered about $70 million, and they're confident they'll get most of the rest. Now, I think that kind of operation needs to be considered by the government. But, yes, some of it will have gone. But, you know, it went through the banks.
Yeah.
It didn't go out in brown paper bags, Bongani.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get rid of that sort of amount of money in the old-fashioned way. It went through the banks. It's left a digital footprint. And it can be traced if there was a will to do so.
So why are the banks, even at this point, denying complicity when, as you showed, and as we've known, really, there were clear examples where the alarm should have been raised?
Yes, they were. I mean, at the time, for example, when HSBC, when Standard Chartered, when Bank of Baroda were taking Gupta accounts and the money going through those accounts into, for example, their Dubai branch, and then disappearing into the international system. I mean, they say, so Standard Chartered put a rather pathetic little memo into the commission responding to my allegations, saying that, well, they can't be responsible for what's happened in their Dubai branch. The Johannesburg branch has got nothing to do with the Dubai branch, but they're linked by a common financial pipeline in the same international bank. So there's a kind of refusal to accept responsibility or culpability. It's kind of not me, Gov, it's somebody else. It's the Dubai Bank's responsibility. What has the Dubai Bank done about it? Nothing. What has the Dubai ruler done about it? Nothing. They haven't extradited the Guptas, nor has the Indian government, despite, I understand, requests from the South African authorities. So there is a trail of complicity that includes the banks, includes the corporates and the lawyers and others who advised the Guptas on how to create front companies so that their true identity, the true beneficial owners, namely the Guptas themselves, was hidden from immediate public view behind a series of other shell companies that this money was moved through. So my focus was on the foreign global dimension of this vast international financial network, and not simply to point the finger at corrupt ministers and officials and politicians, though they deserve to and should be brought to book, nor the businesses that collaborated with them, because it takes two to tango, but also the international financial system, including the governments, principally India, Dubai, Hong Kong, where some of the money went, and countries like Britain that have got headquartered in London, yeah. All those three banks. And, you know, I appealed to the British government a few weeks ago to impose the same kind of sanction on the Gupta brothers that the American government has imposed, and they refused to do it.
It brings me to the next question, that in a sense, global firms think they can take the risk. I mean, it's great to make this kind of money in a jurisdiction like South Africa, but if they have to pull out of here, there are many fish, plenty of fish in the sea. I mean, if you look at Hogan Lovells, Bain & Co., KPMG, it hasn't hurt them where it matters the most, and that would be in London or New York.
Well, they really started getting worried, and some of them came to see me. Senior executives of some of these corporates came to see me, such as HSBC, Standard Chartered, KPMG, for example, and McKinsey. Because when the story went global, when politicians, including myself and the media, started paying attention to what these institutions, these supposedly reputable international businesses, had been doing in South Africa, it seemed they could get away with it when it was confined to the South African space, the media here and politicians agitating here. But when it went on the front page of the Financial Times or the New York Times, then they started getting worried. And so their reputations have been damaged, but they were still are not helping to return the money. They know where the money's gone. They advised them how to get it out.
Yeah.
The banks took their accounts and allowed their money, and the way it moves is digitally, obviously, through the international financial system. And we all know from our own home computing experience that it leaves a digital footprint, and that digital footprint should be scrutinized, and it should be done so with the assistance of the HSBCs and the Bank of Brodas and the Standard Charters to help the South African authorities track this money down and see if it can be returned.
Yeah, because you were saying earlier that, I mean, obviously some of it has been spent, we understand that, but it's not too late for them to help us out, to try and clean this mess, because, of course, they facilitated, as you say, this looting.
No, I mean, some of their own properties, for example, the Guptas do in Dubai, and I named the address of a property they have, a home they have in Dubai. They own properties in India. Those assets could be seized as ultimately belonging to South African taxpayers, but that isn't being done. And I've suggested ways in which that could be done, and I've given the Nigerian government example where they've employed asset recovery specialists. That kind of proposal is there to be picked up by the South African authorities if they choose to do so. And the clock is ticking. Every week that goes by, every month that goes by, and they've rolled on since the Guptas left, what was it, early in 2018, nearly 2 years ago. The money is being spent and the money is being siphoned away, but it can, at least a large part of it, could be recovered.
One of the things you talked about was more due diligence being done around BEE and empowerment deals, whatever, however noble their aims.
Yes, I'm a big supporter of the black economic empowerment, but it was very clear that the Gupta brothers used that label, used that important objective, and manipulated it and exploited it to not empower black communities or black businesses or workers, but actually, again, as a series of front companies. That was true in the Estina dairy farm scandal, the Frieda dairy farm scandal, where the money was robbed from on a government contract awarded to them, and then went out through Standard Chartered accounts and then into the international financial system. I think the evidence I gave yesterday, but there's 10,000 words of it, I think it was into Hong Kong, and disappeared, and then came back in and was spent on lavish hospitality in some city and so on. So, there's all of that is known, and what I focused on was reforms in the international banking system, so that the banks themselves should be the first line of defense. They know what's going through their systems. They should be alerting the national prosecuting authority, the different regulatory agencies, to suspicious activity. They must have known what was going on, and they did nothing about it.
They sat on that information. We'll leave it there. Lord Peter Hain, British peer and campaigner, giving extensive evidence yesterday at the State Capture Commission. Of course, the great difficulty around all of this is that the Guptas bought the guy at the top. And I said earlier, what's really sad, if not downright pathetic, in fact, is how little Jacob Zuma actually received. He was played like a fiddle, and he sold us cheaply.